Amen. You may be seated. Man, I hope that moved more than just your blood this morning. We experienced Pastor Dave, that holy, redemptive heartburn. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, tech team. So wonderful to see so many folks, children, not children, up here leading us in worship. A lot of work goes into helping us to worship on Easter Sunday. Thank you. Thank you. Easter sermon this year comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 8. If you have a Bible, have a phone, you can click there, open there. It's printed in the bulletin. If you don't have any of that, it will be on the screen. Let's pray as we prepare to hear God's word, as we pray to hear the gospel preached. And Father, we pray that, yes, indeed, not just as we sing the truth, but as we hear the truth preached and proclaimed to us, that our hearts would burn, that you would make us come alive by your Holy Spirit to the work that you want to do in us and in your people, that you would get a hold of me, the herald of the truth this morning. Help me to get beyond myself to lean into your spirit and to lean into what it is that you have for us. Give us ears to hear, ears to receive what you have for us. This we pray in the faith in our risen Lord. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8, just a couple of verses this morning, verses 10 and 11. Romans, perhaps one of the densest books, if not in the whole Bible, certainly in the New Testament, one of the most Christ-exalting, gospel-centered books. Romans chapter 8, the gem within that, and we're looking at just two verses, verses 10 and 11, gives us some clues this morning as to the meaning of the resurrection for us. That's where we're going. We're going to see a sobering verdict that is announced in this passage, but on the other hand, a remarkable promise. This is a short verse, so don't hold your breath as we read this. Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Amen. Amen. There is an old African spiritual, actually we sang it at our Good Friday service earlier this weekend, written in the 1800s by enslaved African Americans. We know it as the song, Were You There? The song poses a number of penetrating questions for us to consider. Were you there? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed his body to the cross? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? You know, and it's not clear exactly what the expected answer to those questions are, but of course, in a flesh and blood, physical kind of sense, we weren't there. All right, we cannot say this morning that we, with our physical eyes, watched as Jesus drug his body through the streets of Jerusalem, hearing the shouts of insult and the mocking and the scorning. We were not physically there at the foot of the cross. We did not see the empty tomb. We were not there when he rose up out of the grave. What a privilege it was, though, right, for those first Christians, for the disciples, and actually the Bible says many others who would have been able to say an answer to those questions, yes, we were. We were there. We saw with our actual eyes Jesus marching to the cross. We beheld Jesus on the cross. We saw the empty tomb. We saw Jesus walk out of the tomb to be able to say, I was there. I was there at that pivotal moment of human history, right? The moment upon which all the rest of the world would turn to see right, to actually be able to see with their physical eyes the eternal Son of God. But do you know something? Our passage this morning speaks to something better than being there. Speaks to something better than simply being there to be a witness. Paul says in this passage, more than being a witness, we are a participant. And not just a participant in the death of Christ. He says, through the Spirit who dwells within us, we are a participant with the resurrection of Christ. Paul invites us in these couple of verses to see the resurrection, not just as a really, really, really important piece of theology, and it is really, really important, and not just a part of our history, but a part of our lived experience. In other words, we see the resurrection not just as something to look back on. It is part of our daily life. It's not just something for us to study with some bit of curiosity. It's something for us to live out of, something for us to draw life from, something that's supposed to shape our very existence. Now our passage two verses, and it takes us in two very different directions. So we're going to look at number one, what I want to call the sobering reality that Paul presents here, and then we're going to look at the transforming truth. So here's your Easter present, a two-point sermon this morning. Not 3 points, 2 points. A sobering reality and a transforming truth. And we need to begin with the sobering reality, because if we don't begin with the sobering reality, the transforming truth makes no sense. Let's look at verse 10. Actually, look at this with me. It says, but if Christ is in you, and here it is, although the body is dead because of sin. So sobering reality is this. Paul gives us some really, really bad news. Worse than we think. It's like you went to the dentist because you thought you had a cavity, and he says you've got cancer. It's like your ship is sailing along, and you thought you just nicked that iceberg. And you find out it's going down. The verdict is this, right? Insofar as our spiritual health is concerned, Paul says we're dead. Dead. Right? Notice the word. He does not say the body is sick because of sin. It's not maimed because of sin. It's not hurt. It's not limping along. The verdict is dead. And of course, Paul repeats this over and over in his letters. If you've been with us on Sunday mornings, you know that we're very slowly making our way through the book of Ephesians, which, by the way, I laid that series out last year, and I thought for sure we would be finished Ephesians by the time I preached this sermon here on Easter Sunday. We're not even halfway through. But one of the points that Paul makes over and over in his letter to the Ephesians is that we are what? Dead. Right, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. Not sick, not hurt, not, basically good, dead. Our passage here says, although the body is dead because of sin. Remember what God said to Adam back in the garden? Don't eat that fruit. Don't eat it, because on the day you eat it, you'll what? You'll die. You will surely die. And we understand, of course, that physical death was delayed, but the spiritual death was immediate. And so this is our starting point. This is the starting point of the Christian worldview. It is the starting point of the gospel. It is a sobering reality that refuses to look away from the darkness. And so one of the things we often say around here, we say it this way, Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people, say it with me, alive. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. We need something a little more than just moral instruction to help us to live a better life. We need something more than just a model to follow. We need something a little more than a leader to inspire us. We need something more than a lifeguard to stand on the shore and blow his whistle at us and show us which way to swim. Because the testimony of Scripture is this. We need somebody to pluck our bloated corpse out of the ocean and breathe life back into us. Now, this truth, this starting point that we are dead, while it is a sobering reality, I believe that every one of us here this morning, at least on some level, it makes sense to us. And it makes sense to us, listen, because it's part of our lived experience. right? That the world is full of death and doom and despair, I believe, makes sense just because we can see it. Even if I can't see it in myself, I can certainly see it in the world out there, can't I? Look what happened up in the subway station up in New York City this week. And I think the craziest part about that is it wasn't in the news for more than a day and a half, 2 days, because we're so used to that. Look at what's going on in Ukraine right now. Millions of people displaced. Murder, rape, brutality, threats of nuclear escalation. Look at the spirit of racism, prejudice, division that has gripped our own country. Look at the mess going on in our public schools, amongst our youth, that no longer seeks to receive gender as a gift to be received from God with thanksgiving, but as a choice we thrust upon the youngest people in our society. It does not take much effort to see that the world is full of death and doom and despair. It is part of our lived experience. And I want to be clear. I believe it takes the Spirit of God within us to understand the true depth of the problem, to see how bad the problem actually is. But I believe every one of us here this morning can point to evidence that we live in a broken world, that we live in a world full of death. And so we begin with this sobering reality. We are dead. The world is dark. That's not the only message that Paul has for us. As I said, he takes us in two different directions. We need to first understand that sobering reality, but now let's look at the transforming truth, this message of hope, this message of life. That yes, the body is dead because of sin, but he says the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. And maybe we could say it this way. You know, within this passage, it holds together two truths. One is the message of Good Friday, where we remember the death of Christ. And the other is the message of Easter Sunday, where we remember Christ rose from the dead. Good Friday, we remember that Jesus has died and us with him. But on Easter Sunday, we remember that Jesus rose from the dead. Good Friday is about Christ crucified. Easter Sunday is about Christ resurrected. On Good Friday, we are invited to enter into the death of Christ. But on Easter Sunday, we're invited to enter into the life of Christ. On Good Friday, we see a theology of the cross. But on Easter Sunday, we see a theology of the empty tomb. Good Friday, we remember that the world is full of death, doom, and despair. But on Easter Sunday, we remember that God is doing something new in those very places. On Good Friday, we remember that the world is evil, that the devil is real, that we are a mess. But on Easter Sunday, we remember that in Christ there is victory, there is peace, there is joy, that we have been born again into a living hope. Here's the main thing I want to say to you this morning. Here's the main thing I want to say to you this Easter morning. I believe that we have a tendency to get stuck on Good Friday and never make it to Easter Sunday, because it's part of our lived experience. It's what we can see. We get stuck on Good Friday and we never make it to Easter Sunday. And we need to understand Good Friday. Don't misunderstand me. We need to understand that sobering reality, but many of us never make it to Easter Sunday. We become lopsided Christians. Right? What happens when you put all the cargo on one side of a ship? It rolls over and sinks. We need a theology, not just of the cross. We need a theology of the empty tomb. I believe it is so much easier for us to see a world that is full of evil and sin and brokenness, because it's what we see. It's what we feel. It's what we know. And right, I don't think we see the true depth of it. I don't think we realize how bad the problem actually is. But it's very easy for us to see the world as just Good Friday. And we get stuck there. It becomes a road that we're always on rather than an intersection we cross. And Paul's point here, I believe, in this passage is to say this is not the end of the story. Good Friday is not the end of the story. Don't forget about Sunday. One of the most famous Good Friday Easter sermons preached, at least in the past several generations, has to be a sermon preached by a pastor named S.M. Lockridge, a pastor of Calvary Baptist Church and out in San Diego. We know it as it's Friday. Do you know it? But Sundays are coming. Sundays. I wonder if you'll humor me for a moment and let me read to you part of his sermon. I've always wanted to do that. Listen to what he says. It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleep and Judas is betraying, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter denying. But they don't know
Sunday's coming.
You're getting good. That Sunday's a coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know but Sundays are coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday.
Sundays
are coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king, and the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved, but they don't know it's only Friday. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. A rock is rolled into place, but it's Friday. It's only Friday.
Sundays
are coming. Why do you suppose that stirs us as much as it does? I would submit to you this, because it is very easy for us to identify with Friday. Friday is what we know. It's what we see. It's what we feel. Friday is what we can so easily enter into. Friday makes sense to us. Friday makes sense to us because it is part of our lived experience. But what Paul is saying here is don't forget about Sunday. And he says Sunday's not just a common. He says Sunday's here. And it's not just that Sunday came and went, but what he says is the same resurrecting spirit that was put into Jesus has been put into us. What I'm trying to do in this Easter message to you this morning is to address something that I believe is sorely missing in many of our lives. Because I think it's easier for us to enter into the world of Good Friday than it is for us to enter into the world of Easter Sunday. I think it's easier for us to get the cross than it is for us to get the empty tomb. To understand that Jesus died for us. But we need to understand as well, Christian, that Jesus rose for us. The same resurrecting spirit that was put into Jesus and rose him up out of the grave has been put into us. That is the plain testimony of Scripture. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. I want to share with you as we begin to wrap up here, three objections that I think people might make to Paul's claim here. Three things that maybe are stirring in our minds. And one would be this. someone looks at this radical claim that Paul makes and says, you know, I can't accept it. I can't accept it. Life's been too hard. Right? In other words, it just feels too good to be true. Right? That the world is a mess, that I get. I can't get my hopes up. I said, the safest thing for me to do is just to keep my head down and see the world for what it really is. Right? And here's the message I would have for you. Listen, hope is not found by looking back. Hope is not found by looking back. Hope is found by looking forward in faith to Christ. Don't let your past blind you from seeing what God is doing in the present. Don't let your past blind you from seeing what God wants to do in the present. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. One person says, I can't accept it. Someone else says, I don't feel it. I don't feel it. Who got out of bed this week with nothing but yesterday's problems on their minds? Just me. Okay. Who got out of bed this week with just yesterday's problems on their minds? Let me tell you how hard the past 2 years has been. Often we get out of bed and all we feel is death. All we feel is brokenness. All we feel is heartache. All we feel is the messiness and the weariness of the world around us. And I don't feel it. I don't feel this. But the gospel speaks a better word. God's word testifies to what is true, not just what I can feel. The gospel speaks a better word and testifies to what is true, not necessarily what I feel. Sometimes when I get out of bed in the morning, rather than try to feel it, I need to believe it. And I need to let something like this carry me along, because it's either true or not. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Somebody says, I can't accept it. Somebody else says, I don't feel it. One more. Someone says, I won't believe it. I won't believe it. Can I speak specifically to the person who's here this morning? And maybe you haven't made up your mind about Christianity. Maybe you're not sure where you are. Perhaps you can accept Jesus as a teacher, and you can accept Jesus as a prophet, and you can accept Jesus as a good person, and maybe some parts of Good Friday make sense. But it's this whole Easter Sunday. And of course, we need to understand that the resurrection is not just some side business. It lies at the very heart of the gospel. It lies at the very heart of Christ's teachings. It lies at the very heart of who we are and what we're about. And so, yeah, that's a very real obstacle to get over. Doesn't make sense to us. The resurrection doesn't make sense. Let me share with you something I pulled from Facebook. It's got to be good then, right? It says, it's not scientifically possible for someone to rise from the dead. And our response is exactly, why do you think we celebrate it? It's not scientifically possible for someone to rise from the dead. Yeah, that's right. That's why we celebrate it. I won't believe it. The resurrection is not some small trivial part of Christianity. It lies at the heart. Easter makes a radical claim that God did the impossible by rising Jesus from the dead. He sent Jesus not to make bad people good, but to make dead people alive. He did it for Jesus, and he does it for us. He did it for me, and he can do it for you. A man fell down at the Apostle Paul's feet one time. Something miraculous had happened he couldn't explain. And he calls out to Paul. He says, well, you know, what must I do to be saved? It's fascinating. Paul didn't say, well, get your act together. start being a good person. No, he said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You know, we put our faith in the crucified, in the risen, in the ascended Lord. And that our hearts and that our souls will rest in that. Easter Sunday makes a radical claim. Let me close with this. Can I invite you this morning to look not just to the cross, but to look to the empty tomb? To look not just to the cross, but to look to the empty tomb. To allow your soul not only to rest in the completed work of Christ on the cross for you, but to allow your soul to live and to draw life from the joy of the empty tomb. To not just be a Good Friday Christian, but to be an Easter Sunday Christian. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Amen. Amen. And Father, we thank you for sending Jesus not to just change some small direction or some small thing in our life to help us to be better people, but to literally bring us back from the dead. Lord, I pray for any who are here this morning who are still dead in their sins, and I pray that that same resurrecting spirit who entered into Jesus to raise him out of the dead would do the same for us. And Lord, I pray that just day by day and moment by moment, we would be working out by your grace through the Holy Spirit this understanding, this theology of the empty tomb, that your resurrecting power that has been placed within us would change our lives and would direct us where we give ourselves freshly over to you this Easter morning. And this we pray in your name. Amen. Amen.